Our last segment on today's show is The Left and the Law. Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker discussing sexual harassment by powerful men.
Well, Mike, this 2019 has been a star-studded year for the long lineup of powerful men confronting the wrath of women in court. The Harvey Weinstein case this month was settling for $25 million with women in a tentative agreement with dozens of his sexual misconduct victims, and a deal that would not require the Hollywood producer to admit wrongdoing, to pay anything to his accusers himself, according to his lawyers. So, Mike, let's start with Harvey Weinstein as a big Hollywood story this year, and he's been in the courts quite a lot, but also obviously has big coffers, or his insurance company has big coffers for payouts. Tell us about how you would assess this settlement, and is it an advance or a retreat with respect to the fight against sexism and sexual harassment?
Harvey Weinstein has been doing this and been paying out for it for many decades. Just this year, though, it really became a deal, a thing. In London, for example, he had paid out several $100,000 in the 1990s to a woman who had worked as his sexual assistant.
Sexual assistant?
Pardon me.
It was like barely a Freudian slip. I was like a lawyer speak, right?
Exactly.
His unwilling sexual assistant. Continue with your story.
And she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement that was beyond draconian. She couldn't even think thoughts in her sleep. It was so all-inclusive. And in May of this year, the English equivalent of the Bar Association chastised and punished the law firm that had designed this non-disclosure agreement. It was seen
so how is it different? I'm having to sign one myself earlier in my career. They're pretty strict in terms of you can't, you know, neither speak to this your children nor their children and so on and so forth. How could this be stricter than the ones that are in place here?
Well, I'm not altogether sure, but they found that one of the features it had is a feature that allows non-disclosure agreements to further practices by serial predators like Harvey Weinstein or Steve Wynn in Las Vegas, is that it doesn't surface anywhere. It doesn't surface with regulatory bodies. It doesn't surface in the way that, say, complaints of misconduct against a psychologist are recorded, even if their details are not. Their existence of this is recorded.
So this was like a complete banishment of this,
right?
Charges from any record whatsoever, in a way.
Right. It really highlights the disadvantages of non-disclosure agreements, which are in their nature not a bad thing. In fact, silence is golden for people who, whether they want to reform themselves and stop or continue doing the same thing, in either case, silence is a valuable commodity.
And they're also for those making claims, there is some protection sometimes in privacy too, because a well-known phenomenon associated with filing sexual harassment claims is that women who are typically the plaintiffs are punished severely in their careers. So there is some degree of privacy, of protection of the privacy for those making claims. Would you agree with that?
Yes, of course. But where they really fall down was the highlight about what happened to Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn was the most powerful man in Las Vegas. Some people credit him with inventing modern Las Vegas, the transition from like a slot machine warehouse to a casino that's a full, quote, experience, close quotes.
American experience, by the way, quintessentially.
Yeah, very popular all around the world. People go there to...
Okay, fair enough.
But he has paid out dozens of complaints because he routinely takes advantage of people who give him massages and the lower level workers in Las Vegas, and he's been doing that for ages. And he made the mistake of trying to build a huge $3 billion resort in Massachusetts. And the regulatory board there asked to review all the papers of the casino in his casinos in Las Vegas, and he granted it to them. And they turned up this long train of non-disclosure agreements, which highlights the serious problem with non-disclosure agreements if they're not recorded anywhere, like with the regulatory body who looks over casinos in Las Vegas, and they are very closely looked at. Their behavior in many ways is studied. And the fact that they did not know about these NDAs made it possible for him to continue doing the same thing for a long, long time. Then it all surfaced in 2018. He had to resign from the board. But this enabled, they sort of facilitated his position of power and his abuse of it for decades.
The payout system and the limits and potential of going to the courts for justice seem to reflect the broader problems in capitalist societies, both the men who are powerful enough to make these deals and to advance careers and open doors and crush people in the process, also have the means to pay out at these levels. So how do you separate the enormous wealth and inequality as it finds its way into the court in these settlements, including the way in which it's tempting to take a very, you know, these millions of dollars as incentives versus the everyday struggles of people, including women who are fighting this sort of thing with men who don't have means for these payouts?
Well, it's like every other aspect of life. If you've got huge amounts of money, there are solutions, there are ways and means to get where you want to go. I mean, overall, we've made tremendous progress. I mean, the casting couch is no longer a funny joke. Cartoons published in Saturday Evening Post of men chasing their secretaries in between the desks, those kind of cartoons, that attitude that it's all just boys being boys, is gone forever. And there are all sorts of ways of being attentive to this problem. But having said all that, it's true. If you've got infinite amounts of money, you can get things done.
Well, let's talk about the film Bombshell as perhaps a story that I think Hollywood Film, now in theaters based on the sexual harassment case against Fox News and Roger Ailes specifically, but I think in some ways has both those progressive currents you're describing, but also is very conventional in many ways. And in some ways, I see it as not a particularly feminist film, depending on which feminism you draw on. So just as a little background, for those who haven't seen it, Bombshell is directed by Jay Roach and written by Charles Randolph, starring Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie, and is based upon the accounts of several women at Fox News who set out to expose CEO Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. And then the film unfolds around scenes where you see a very ailing and homely old man who's only instrument of getting his way in the world is his sheer power, doing very much what you're describing, like the acting, like the director's scene, you know, in old films where, you know, he asks her to strip down and sometimes has his way with her to get the part. And it's very much those kinds of scenes. There's nothing subtle in his behavior. And so in one sense, I think it's kind of an easy film to accept as portraying hideously exploitive behavior. It also plays on, you know, the woman who we see most under his coercion is this very blonde, young Christian woman who's kind of the embodiment of Hollywood's notion of the classic virgin who's humiliated to have to do the service of this homely old man. So there's kind of an element of dirty old man meets the young white virgin. And so it doesn't really push you to have to think about how women are implicated or being drawn into the seductions of power?
Well, it has sort of a catalog, I think, of sexual harassment, ranging from extreme examples of where one woman reports that in order to keep her job, she had to not only sexually service her boss, but also anyone that he directed her to, all the way to people who have opportunities for power where it's an implicit thing that you'll do better, but it's not explicit, and where women have to genuinely wrestle with the idea of, do I want to play it safe and have sex, or do I want to take a risk, or how shall I play it? Of course, with Roger Ailes is a classic old troll. If he were a little younger, a little better looking, that would rearrange the equation.
As Henry Kissinger famously said, power is quite an aphrodisiac. Of course, never as much as the powerful man himself imagines. But nonetheless, there was a point there, and here, I mean, for me, the dimension of interest in the film wasn't so much in types of sexual harassment, assault, but the whole atmosphere of pimping in Fox News, you know, that the women had to wear push-up bras and high heels, and there was a lot of focus on exposing legs. And so this was also, I think, a transition period where women were making it into anchor news positions based on being smart, but that they had to deliver some pleasure in the process.
Well, that's a Murdoch classic. That's how he's run his papers in London, with page 5 and page 6 of sexy and titillating pictures of women.
Right, and there was a campaign against that page in London, right. And
campaign only heightened circulation of the papers in question. It's the insight of Roger Ailes, who was a very smart guy in addition to being a predator, was that conflict like that sells. That's why at first he was fine with Megyn Kelly asking Donald Trump a tough question, because it created conflict and huge buzz and all sorts of social media action and reaction and counter reactions. So the Murdoch template was displayed there. I thought it was like a TV show, and that it was bright colors, as you said, lots of close-ups. It moved quickly along. It had real momentum. It was not at all deep, but you got to see the skeleton of Fox News, the building where they work, you know, the appearance, all of that stuff to me was.
And the symbiotic ties between Trump and Fox News. But these were women who really wanted to work at Fox News, and many of them are very right wing. And that was not relevant. The way in which this form of sexism, the way in which a lot of, and I think this is also true in even evangelical circles, that smart women have to deliver something else around also being childlike or display certain signifiers of femininity in order to be ushered in. And there are certain barriers there that keep women out of the sanctuary of power. The relationship between this mode of highly sexualized femininity and women as sexual objects in that world was not really part of the film. We kind of forgave these women in the film because they were victims for all of the other right-wing positions they take, and maybe that's fair enough, but it...
Well, don't you think, Jan, that it's interesting that it was portrayed precisely at Fox News, which of course sexualizes everything from morning show all the way to midnight, all day long. That's part of their shtick. But to show that even in a right-wing environment like that, the same sorts of harassment that exist in every workplace all over America, you know, even in like John Deere distributor parts companies, the idea of having to put out for advancement is one that's not by any means confined to TV. But the fact that it was illustrated here by this hotbed of ideological right-wing defiant rejection of the ordinary world that Fox News is, it's a factor of every single part of life.
Right. Yeah, but not in the same way it is on Fox News. So I think... And the mechanisms for going after these predators in different contexts. Maybe this is a point for another program, but I think there's a cost to this idea of it's all the same everywhere. It happens everywhere. Yes, of course, sexism and the sexual exploitation of women is pervasive in patriarchal societies, but there is a specific dialect of that in right-wing circles, and the way women are sexually objectified in many right-wing circles, that I think there is more grounds for resisting it in more progressive circles. Of course, it happens. I mean, even Harvey Weinstein, the outrage about what he was doing in so-called liberal Hollywood, where there is really a serious effort to address the objectification of women. And I, you know, do we see those same changes on Fox News? I don't know. But the way in which that version of sexuality for women is commercialized in the right-wing media, I think, was not itself part of the story.
True.
Okay, well, what about the continuum of these things? Oh, to win against a lawyer point. I think you just got worn down. What about, in closing, there's a continuum of these cases that perhaps gets swept aside in the larger stories. The story of Harvey Weinstein and his outrageous abusive behavior. There is a continuum of behaviors under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act that can be difficult to recognize, that not all of these situations are the same in terms of their potential harms as well.
Well, many things are surfacing now, like someone like Jeffrey Epstein, who worms his way into MIT media labs, the Congress museums, the loftiest institutions in the country.
Not anymore.
By providing opportunities for these people to have sex with attractive young women. He was a pimp on a mega scale. And there have been people like that around for a long time. But now we know about them. And we know a lot more about the way sexual harassment works. We know there are some people, like Harvey Weinstein was a complex case because he sponsored and allowed a lot of very liberal, very advanced political movies to be made. A lot of deep, you know, examinations of human behavior. And he would usually mess them up a little bit, like in the movie Frida, Selma Hayek's project. He financed it. It was not an obvious financial winner for Hollywood.
Frida Kahlo.
Yes. But he insisted that there be a sex scene in it, which seemed rather strange in the context of the movie. You know, Selma Hayek is always good to look at, but still it seemed to jar with the whole arc of the way the narrative was going. So people stuck with him for a longer time. But now we see his whole career. We know a lot about him. He's going to be undergoing different reviews in district attorney's offices for criminal behavior.
And then there's, I think, one final question often that arises, whether these huge payouts and public disgrace and banishment from an industry are sufficient, or whether these people should all end up in prison. And I think there is debate about that. So we'll probably have plenty to still cover in 2020 with these guys. So this is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talking today, a review of the year's highlights for sexual predators meeting women in court.
Divided that come together to stand united. The voices of toiling masses gather, our voices heightened. We want our lows lightened, we want our wrongs righted. Any attempt to control our bodies, we poised to fight it. Gon' blame the system, that's accurate. But if we claim our inaction, that's accurate. activist. Our body's not a target, yet it's under attack. Forward together, never a single step back.
We are the head of this body.
It's our body.
We are the heart of this body.
That was some of NC Music Love Army with My Body Politic. And before that, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker, The Left and the Law, discussing some of this past year's stories of powerful men getting caught in their sexual harassment.